Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have what we call the Enyart Library. It is filled with resources, DVDs, seminars, books I've had the opportunity to write and we've shared with people around the country, around the world, and Bible study albums. What we're going to do today is dive into the Enyart Library. And every time we do this, we try to find something different, unique, interesting that you'll enjoy and that we'll all learn from. So you guys ready with that? All right, let's hit it. Tonight we begin our Old Testament study of Esther, the 17th book of the Bible, as we Christians number those books. As you know, I'm convinced that most Christians have a really hard time understanding this book. It's a big book. It's somewhat daunting. And because we have difficulty with the Bible, then we are terribly susceptible to false ideas about God. And we have wrong ideas about God. When we do, those ideas affect our lives, and we don't live the way God would want us to live, the way we would want us to live. And so we experience more difficulty, trouble we bring upon ourselves. So I am going to begin this study of the little 10-chapter book of Esther the way I begin so many of our Bible studies, by looking at an overview, looking at the big picture, the context. And I'm going to do that four times, each time getting more and more focused. The fourth time, we'll actually look, we'll just talk through a narrative discussion of what happens in the book of Esther itself. But before we get to there, what happens in the book of Esther, we'll put that book in context with the whole Bible. And we'll do that in three successive overviews of the whole Bible. And I have a few handouts here. So we'll go through these. The handouts, we've got one that's called The Bible in 33 Events, which we're going to go through. And then we have another, The 66 Books of the Bible. So we have 33 major events of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, and the first one is page 1 of chapter 1 of the plot manuscript. And we've never used this before, but this presents an overview of the Bible in 4 points. And so we'll get the story of the Bible, we'll get the major events of the Bible, we'll look at a summary of each of the 66 books of the Bible, and then an overview of the book of Esther. Now for the handouts, the list, the 66 books, the 33 major events, which you will be getting, we have compiled those over a period of years. And as I understand the Bible better, as it's a lifetime task, then we clarify the list, make it more succinct, more to the point, more revealing of what's going on in the Bible. So let's begin with your first handout. Actually, I'm going to read through this. The first page of a manuscript we have on an overview of the Bible called The Plot. So here we go. All stories have a plot. The main storyline in a narrative forms the plot. Understanding any storybook involves recognizing the plot, getting to know the characters, and learning the setting. The setting refers to the backdrop for the action, where and when, in time and space, the action occurs. Does the Bible, this book, does the Bible have a plot? Well, the Bible tells a story. The starry heaven stretches out as the backdrop for the main stage, that is the earth. Some scenes in this book take place in the spiritual heaven, but most occur on earth, while a few incidents span both heaven and earth. The story begins eons ago, before the universe existed, and looks to the distant future after the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. The main character in the story is God. Supporting characters include Satan, good and fallen angels, of whom Satan is one, and human beings. God sometimes groups characters together to deal with them in certain ways. He treats fallen angels one way and good angels another way. The Lord, as God refers to himself, also groups human beings. Early in the story, he deals with individuals and families. Later, he works in special ways with tribes and then with nations. The Bible does have a plot. The main story of the Bible follows this outline. God created the universe and populated heaven and earth. That's the first main event of the Bible, and we put it here in four events, four stages. God created the universe and populated heaven and earth. Number two, the rebellion of some angels and all humans resulted in guilt and death. Number three, God worked to reconcile with those men who would trust him. And four, God will eternally reward those who love him and punish all others. These four observations define the overall plot. Now, there are many details within this framework. At creation, God performs specific actions in a particular order, the 6 days of creation. In the rebellion, Satan, Adam, and Eve disobeyed their maker, and then God informed them of the consequences for their guilt. Now, death means separation. And upon the fallen angels came separation from God. That's spiritual death. Also, Adam and Eve died spiritually and experienced physical death when their souls and spirits eventually separated from their bodies. For the reconciliation, God designed a plan of great personal sacrifice to himself so that he could justly forgive men by providing atonement, that is, by paying for their sin. He also implemented a plan to communicate that redemption to the world. The communication involved giving mankind the Bible and calling out particular men to be his spokesman. God even called one nation, Israel, to be God's spokesnation to the world. Through that nation, God gave the world the Bible and the Savior. Also, God instructed that nation to bring the glad tidings of his salvation to the entire world. God will provide eternal reward for the righteous in the new heaven and on the new earth. Some will have their primary residence on the new earth and others in heaven. Now, there's a parenthesis in chapter 1 of the plot that says later on we'll see why the Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. That's an interesting topic that we won't get into in this study. And then God will cast Satan into the lake of fire along with the beast, the false prophet, and everyone not written in God's book of life. So that's an overview of the Bible in four main observations. That's what's going on in this book. God created, man rebelled, God seeks to redeem us and will reward and punish those according to our responses to him. Now, before we look at the summary of the Bible, of the 66 books of the Bible, let's look at this, the Bible in 33 events. Now, that was the Bible in four events. Now, we'll break it down more and we'll begin to zero in and eventually we'll get to the book of Esther. And we'll go through this quickly. For those who are listening to a recording of this study, if you'd like any of these lists, please contact us and we'll get them to you. Okay, the Bible in 33 events. I'm not going to read all the details. We'll just look at the events. First was the creation, which happened about 4,000 years or so before Christ on day one in the year zero, Anno Mundi, the year of the world. Then Adam was created. What day was he created on? Well, he was created on the sixth day, which would have made that a Friday, about 6,000 years ago. Adam was created. I mentioned that ancient wise men had no idea what human beings were made up of. They knew about fire and water and rock. But what were people made up of? Moses wrote in Genesis that God made us of the dirt of the ground, the dust of the earth. And that's exactly right. That's what we are made of. Then the fall in Genesis 3. How long before man rebelled and sinned against God? Well, the biggest clue we have in the Bible is that man sinned before Eve became pregnant. Not a single child was conceived before the rebellion. So most likely, Adam and Eve and Lucifer all fell and rebelled against God very early, perhaps within days of the creation. And then the fourth major event, the flood, Noah's flood, for which there's evidence all over the world. In the last couple of weeks, we've had Christian paleontologists unearthing, excavating dinosaur footprints right here in Denver, and we've been helping them, seeing that these dinosaurs left footprints in the sediments that were being deposited during Noah's flood. The fifth major event, the Tower of Babel. A couple centuries after the flood, everyone had been destroyed except for Noah and his family, 8 human beings. And a couple centuries later, mankind was united again in their rebellion against God. And so God confused the languages and sent the people around the face of the world and started the nations that we know of today, the nation groups. The sixth major event in the Bible is the covenant of grace, that 14 years or so before Abraham was circumcised, God gave a covenant of grace to Abraham. And upon that covenant, God bases his relationship with the body of Christ. About 14 years later, and this is somewhere around 2,000 years before Christ, God gave to Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and God based his relationship with Israel on the covenant of circumcision. So throughout the Bible, there are two major covenants, circumcision and the law for Israel and grace for the body. The eighth major event, Israel entered Egypt. As free men initially, they became slaves. And a few hundred years later, Israel left Egypt in the great Exodus, the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. The 10th major event, the Mosaic Law. Wow, the Mosaic Law. In Exodus chapter 20, God gave the 10 commandments to Moses at Mount Sinai. The 11th event, Israel entered the Promised Land. Now, they didn't go directly into the Promised Land. They wandered for 40 years because of their unbelief. And eventually, led by Joshua, Moses' successor, Israel entered to the land that today we identify as Israel. Number 12, Israel lived under the judges for a period of a few hundred years, and it was a cycle of spiritual freedom and then political bondage. When they were evil, they suffered. When they were righteous, they prospered. Number 13, David's throne was established in Jerusalem. David's throne was established in Jerusalem. I have 1000 BC, but more particularly 1004 BC, and that even according to secular historians today. And 1004 BC, by the way, is exactly 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. The next major event after David set up his throne was his son Solomon. David died, and Solomon built the temple. There were basically 3 temples, or 2 temples, the second one refurbished. And so Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem. That's where God told the Jews to sacrifice their animals. The 15th event, Israel's kingdom was divided. Israel had a civil war, just like we had in America, with the North and the South. And they hated one another, and for the rest of their history, they were never united. In fact, the northern tribes were lost to history and just decimated by the pagan nations around them. In fact, the 16th major event is the Assyrian captivity, and that was northern Israel The 10 tribes in the north were taken captive by a brutal empire that was just east of Israel. They were called the Assyrians. Their capital was in Nineveh. And the Jews, the 10 tribes in the north, after the civil war, were carried away and, for the most part, in biblical history, never heard from again. Why did that happen? God warned them, if you rebel against me, if you sin, you will be destroyed. It's the natural consequence of sin. Sin destroys us. It destroys our families. It destroys our nation. It destroys the world. So then the 17th event, the Babylonian captivity. Now this, just like the northern tribes were carried off because of their wickedness, the southern tribes were carried off because of their wickedness. And instead of being taken to Assyria, which was a kingdom up north, sort of like in northern Iraq, they were carried off to the Babylonian Empire, which was pretty much in southern Iraq, by Nebuchadnezzar. The 18th major event, the Babylonians destroyed the temple that Solomon had built. So that temple stood for about 500 years, and it was destroyed. Then we have Nehemiah's return. And when this list was put together, the Bible in 33 events, it's not for the book of Esther, it's for the whole Bible. And there are 66 books of the Bible, so they don't all get mentioned. Some of them reinforce, some of them have more minor events in the big scope of things. The book of Esther occurs between 18 and 19. And so Nehemiah's return, about 450 years before Christ, and he rebuilt the city wall of Jerusalem. The city had been destroyed, and the houses. And Ezra returned. And when Ezra returned, Ezra was a priest, and the temple had been rebuilt. So Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed. The Jews in the south had been taken away captive. That captivity lasted for 70 years. And then they began to come back. And as they came back, the wall was rebuilt. And then the temple was rebuilt. And then the 21st event, after the temple was rebuilt, really virtually nothing of great significance happened. That was pretty much the end of the story of the Old Testament. The temple was rebuilt, and now they were waiting for the Messiah. And the 21st event was that Herod rebuilt the temple. King Herod, who hated God, but was a mighty king, very wealthy, an extraordinary architect, and he rebuilt the temple. It took 46 years to rebuild it. And that temple was at its grand stature when Jesus Christ came on the scene. Actually, perfect timing for Christ and his ministry and what he did to be known throughout the Roman Empire and eventually throughout the world. The 22nd event, Christ's birth and his life. Jesus was born where and when the Hebrew prophets predicted. And the 23rd event was Christ's death and resurrection. On Mount Moriah, on the same mountain, on the same hill on which Solomon built the temple. The same hill, according to the Bible. The 24th event was Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, 50 days later. The 25th event, Israel was cast away. Why was Israel cast away? Well, God had warned them, I'm going to send my king. He's going to want to give you a kingdom. But if you reject him, then I will reject you and I will cut you off. And Paul writes that God did not cut off Israel permanently, but he did so temporarily because of their unbelief. And he's turned to the Gentiles in the body of Christ. And that is the 26th event. The body of Christ began. When God cut off Israel during the period of the New Testament, then he established the body of Christ in which there are both Jew and Gentile. And the 27th event, what happens after the body of Christ began? Well, it began about 2,000 years ago. What's the next major event in the Bible? The rapture of the body of Christ. After the rapture begins the tribulation of Israel. And then the 29th event is Christ's second coming. And then the 30th, the judgment of the nations. and the 31st, the millennial kingdom, and then the great white throne judgment. Now, the millennial kingdom is a period of 1,000-year reign on earth where Christ will return and sit on a throne in Jerusalem and rule the earth from Jerusalem. He'll rule with a rod of iron. And so the wicked will be put down if they try to rise up during Christ's reign. And then, after that 1,000-year reign, will be the great white throne judgment, the judgment of all the dead, the small and the great, who will stand before Jesus Christ. And the wicked will be cast with Satan into the lake of fire. And then the 33rd major event of the Bible, the new creation, that's when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Members of the body of Christ will dwell eternally in the new heaven. That's where Christians go. When we die, we've all heard that, right? If you're a Christian, you die, you go to heaven. Well, then what is there a new earth for? It turns out that in the story of the Bible, the new earth is for Israel because God promised them that they will live on the earth forever. God promised them an earthly kingdom, and he promised the body of Christ a heavenly kingdom. It's not like we're enemies or competitors. Undoubtedly, we will love one another and fellowship with one another. Israel and their kingdom on the new earth, and the body of Christ as citizens of heaven, in heaven forever. Now we're going to look at an overview of the 66 books of the Bible. And then we'll look at an overview of the book of Esther itself. The 66 books of the Bible, and remember, we'll get to Esther, which is the 17th book, but we start with Genesis, which is the creation, the fall, and Israel's birth. And then Exodus, that's leaving Egypt and getting the law. Remember the Ten Commandments? Now, hopefully, these successive overviews will help us to become more comfortable with what's in this book, the Bible. What is it about? Here's the story of the Bible. Leviticus is the priestly laws. Numbers is Israel's census. God had them count how many Jews were there, and there were over 1 million. And they're wandering in the wilderness. Deuteronomy was the retelling of the law. God stressed for Israel, here's the Mosaic law, you better live by it. Whereas in the body of Christ, we live by grace. Joshua was the conquering of the land of Canaan, where God gave that land to Israel. Judges is the cycles of spiritual freedom and political bondage. When they loved God, they were free and prosperous. When they rebelled against God, they became slaves and miserable and destitute. The book of Ruth, a Gentile marries into the Davidic lineage. Now, actually, that's even before David, but into the Messiah's lineage, into Abraham's seed. And eventually Jesus Christ came from Abraham, from David, but through this woman, Ruth. And 1 Samuel was Israel's kingdom instituted. 2 Samuel is David's reign, King David. 1 Kings is where the kingdom splits, Israel splits into north and south, and they're called Israel up north and Judah in the south. Although it's okay to call Judah Israel because it's all Israel and they're all Jews, and up north they were Jews and down south they were Israelites. But technically, after the Civil War, the north was called Israel and the south was called Judah. And then 2 Kings, the divided kingdom, struggles. 1 Chronicles retells David's reign. 2 Chronicles is Judah's evil leads to the Babylonian captivity. That's when Nebuchadnezzar and his army took the Jews in the south and brought them into captivity. But remember from the 33 events that happened after the Assyrian captivity. First, the tribes in the north were taken into exile, and then the Jews in the south. But what we learn from these overviews is that not every book in the Bible is chronological. Like the book of Job comes further toward the middle, and it's probably the first book ever written. Although the book of Genesis begins to tell the story, even though it was written perhaps a few centuries after Job was written. So the books in the Bible are not laid out in a historical order. You figure out the historical order as you read them, but they're laid out in a canonical order, in an ecclesiastical order. They're laid out in a certain way to tell a story because they fit together well in this way. Then the next three books happen to be in reverse historical order. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, in the history timeline, it was actually Esther first, our book for tonight. In captivity, they were in the Babylonian captivity, Jews in Persia were saved from extermination. There was a plan to exterminate the Jews, and Esther and her uncle, so to speak, Mordecai, helped to save the nation. Then Nehemiah, the first remnant, returned to restore Jerusalem's walls. And then Ezra, more Jews returned, and they rebuilt the temple. That was the second temple, called Zerubbabel's temple. He was the architect. Now let's continue with Job. So we took those three in reverse order because they conveniently went in reverse historical order. Then Job, a righteous man, labors to understand suffering. The book of Psalms is Israel's hymnal. We sing hymns and praise to the Lord, so did Israel, and their songbook is in the Bible. It's the book of Psalms. There's 150 of them in there. Proverbs, Solomon's wise sayings. Solomon was David's son who built the temple. But the book of Ecclesiastes is backslid in Solomon's confusion because he started out obeying God and he turned to hate God. And then the Song of Songs, a romance that portrays God's love for Israel. And Isaiah is prophecy of the coming Messiah who will suffer and then rule. And Jeremiah, this is a second wave of captives heading off, and as they go off, they leave Jeremiah behind, the sorrowful prophet. And Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations, which was actually God's divorce decree against Israel. For God married Israel, and then he divorced Israel. And he said, because you are so wicked, you're no longer my wife. But he had dreams of taking her back again one day, which he still will eventually. And then Ezekiel, in exile.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. Hi, this is Bob, and you're interrupting my own show. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this audio from the Bob and Yurt Live library. Do you know that we have all kinds of important DVDs that we've produced, books like The Plot and the Does God Exist debate? We have another debate called Open Theism, Is the Future Settled or Open? We have Bible study albums on CD, Bible seminars and topical seminars. We have so many neat resources. You can get them all in the NYART library. Or you could get just the audio library, the DVD library. And by the way, here's a list of some of the books we've studied that are available now from Bob and Yurt Live, verse-by-verse studies through Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, the book of Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Nahum, Malachi, and in the New Testament, John, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, James, Jude, and Revelation. So check us out, kcup.com, 800-8NYARD. God bless you.